Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Well, good morning, everyone. I think I've got the slot just before lunch, so hopefully I can keep you awake till we get some food, hopefully. What I want to do is talk to you in the next 20 minutes about ELQA, the end-of-life care quality assessment tool, which is web-based. What I want to do is just set you the context of how it got developed and then just talk you through the actual web-based tool through screenshots. And then I hope at the end of this session and perhaps over the next couple of weeks you'll have a go yourself and go online and have a look at it. So it's a free tool, so it's available for commissioners and providers and to help you to apply the NICE quality standard and other priorities in practice. If you remember, the NICE quality standard was for end-of-life care was produced last year, and this web-based tool reflects the measures and statements within that standard. It also incorporates the quality markers and measures for end-of-life care that came out in 2009 and brings them all together. It's also helpful as a tool because it also maps where all this fits into the Care Quality Commission standards, also where it fits into social care and public health outcomes, national cancer peer review, and specialist palliative care measures which are being piloted at the moment. And links to other things like the NHS quality, innovation, productivity, prevention programme, and also the end-of-life care transforming in acute hospitals. So the web-based tool brings all these into one setting. So it's almost like buy one, get three, three, really, in that sense. So it's quite useful from that point of view. So how can it help you? I mean, I think just to pick up what all the speakers have said from this morning is it's a tool is only as good as the people who use it. So if the right people are putting in the correct information, then you'll get the right assessment. But if the wrong people are putting in the wrong information, you'll get the wrong assessment. And I can't acknowledge that anymore. I also think it's a tool that should be used as an integrated approach, in the sense that I don't see one person sitting in a room and scoring themselves against all the measures. I see it very much as a team approach. And because we actually have 16 statements on the web tool and 42 measures and one extra section on raising awareness of deaf, dying and loss, there's a lot there. So not everyone will have all those skills. So you do need to do it very much as a team approach. And in my experience using it, very much it gets you to ask your peers questions. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, oh. And it gets that networking and conversation going, which I think is really important when we're looking at standards. Helps you plan your priorities, share good practice with other organisations. Part of the registration process is that you have to have, and it's quite clear on the website, a lead person in your organisation that's registered with ELQA. And they will give you permission via Maiden, who managed the site through us, through the intelligence network, to actually go on and either just read the measures or actually input as well. This is to ensure that the right people put on the right information. And it is purely a professional site at the moment. If you want other people to look at your information and be aware of what you're doing, we take that as read unless you tell us otherwise. What we do as part of the registration programme is ask your permission to have your email address on there or contact. So then you have some networking. So if I'm looking at the measure, say, on raising awareness of deaf, dying and loss, and I see perhaps in the Midlands somewhere they're doing some excellent work, I've got a contact that I can be in touch with to see and learn more. Also helps to support best investment decisions for patients. And this is where the commissioning bit comes in. And I think at the moment, and we have talked about it, we're in a very turbulent time, and waiting for things to settle down. And ever the optimist in me says, after the 1st of April, it'll all be sorted. But very much commissioners have always, and want to even more, work in partnership with providers. You have the knowledge and expertise, and they have the funding, but also the desire to work with you. So it's one way of looking at the measures and looking how you meet them in your area and where you want to improve and develop and where you need a commissioning support within it. And obviously gathering information for CQC and other assessments useful. It's also quite useful, and I've used it as a learning tool for students, actually, because it actually, if you go through all the measures, which is the whole end-of-life care for somebody, it's actually a good learning tool to see the holistic approach. You can, when you go online, just complete one statement and the measures within it and self-assess yourself and not do any more. But I would say that really, in order to get a really good picture of the end-of-life care you're delivering in your setting, you really probably need to do all of them. And this tool works in any setting from care home to health to social care, acute hospitals, hospices, etc. So it meets anyone's needs. So this is basically what I've talked about, the 42 measures linked to the quality standard. An alignment of these measures with the standards. And if you look in the end-of-life care standard and the statements, some of the things are very aspirational. So I'd be very surprised if everyone in the audience went on and did this and scored green for everything, because we're still learning and development, particularly in the areas of patient outcomes. We've done our best to give you evidence of how you can measure yourself, but in relation to patient experience, that's still an evolving curve within end-of-life care. We've tried to look at how you can measure where you're at in a different way. I think there was a lot of talk this morning about quality, a lot about process, and a lot about outcomes. And I'm very much of the mind that, yes, you do need an outcome, but the process is incredibly important, because you can miss something very key and have a good outcome and only find out a couple of months down the line that that process was missing and it was really important. So what we've tried to do with the measures is give you an opportunity to measure yourself in a variety of ways. So if you haven't got figures to say on a particular thing like use of electronic palliative care systems, if you don't know in your area or you don't use it, the percentage that's been uptaken with that, then you can actually, you don't need to fill in the percentage bit. You can just put in a plan in place. So we've tried to have process and numerical indicators to match different people's levels of where they're at. Very much seeing this tool as a development process, and as it's used and we get feedback from yourselves, we can obviously improve our scoring systems accordingly. So just to give you a little flavour, let's see if I can work this thing. Nope, obviously not me doing it the right way. Just to give you a flavour of what the site actually looks like. This is the home page, and as you can see along the top, the strap line, we've got a lot of information, a lot of resources that you can access. We've got a fact sheet of useful questions. We've got contacts, we've got generating reports, which I'll go on to in a minute. And as you can see along the front, you can assess and view measures, there's reports, and there's useful information on the far right. With the measures, you can actually go through a training tool and actually have a go at it first. But we are hoping in the next couple of months to put on some WebExes that you can access on a regular basis. This tool has been improved since the last version, and we've tried to make it much more user-friendly. And for someone like me, who's a bit of an IT nerd, really, basically, I haven't even managed to cope with a Kindle, so I actually find this okay. So that's just an example. If you were to click on one of the measures, what it would actually look like. And we've highlighted the quality statement in dark blue. The first one's on identification. People approaching the end of life identified in a timely way. And underneath it in the light blue are the measures applicable. What you will find is when you go on to your own organisation, you may not have all the statements or measures there because they may not be applicable to yours. So, for example, if the ambulance service was looking at end-of-life care, some of the statements are not appropriate for them. And in the top right-hand corner, do you need help? Click. What we found when we first launched it over a year ago, that people needed some help. So we put in a support system there to help people. This is an example of when you go into the measure and you're looking at the assessment. And this is around deaths recorded on EPACS or GSF or other improvement tools. And as you can see, there's a section where you can put in numbers and get a percentage, or you can rag rate yourself. And on the far right-hand side, you can see how you compare yourself with other people. I would take a note of caution when you're comparing yourself. It is good to benchmark yourself with other people, but bearing in mind you have to look at their population, their demographics, their diseases, etc., to make sure you're doing like for like. So just be cautious about comparison at times. Another bit of the section, which is really around process. So we're trying to give people different ways of measuring themselves depending on what tools they've got and what facilities they've got. And you can put comments and then you can save and you can update this as often as you want. So why should you use a tool? I think I've gone through most of these really around benchmarking, best practice, evidence for you to use. Just something a bit about selling it to your commissioners. We have got on the site various resource information for commissioners, but when I've talked to commissioners about this tool, I've very much sold it from the line of it covers everything to do with end-of-life care. It links in with the end-of-life care strategy. It links in with the NICE standard. It links in with CQC. It links in with the commissioning for end-of-life care. It links in with person-centred commissioning end-of-life care. It's all in one package, and it will give them a really good overview from their providers about what services are being delivered and where the gaps are. It also gives you an opportunity to have a conversation, because there's no guarantee that the commissioner you're talking to actually has end-of-life care experience or knowledge. And I think one of the speakers a minute ago, I think it was Kate, mentioned about intelligence. Sometimes with the commissioners changing, they haven't got the intelligence that you have, and that's a good opportunity to have the dialogue around that. And for providers, I think I've covered that just for you all. These are very much questions that ELQA can help you to answer. I won't go through them all. I'll just read about one or two. It helps you to answer, are people approaching the end of life identified in a timely way? Bottom one, do health and social care staff have the knowledge, skills and attitudes to provide high-quality end-of-life care to individuals, their families and carers? So a lot of talk this morning about education and training, and there's quite a detailed section in this behind this. And very much within the Francis report, if you look at the recommendations, there's a lot around education, around compassion and values within the NHS. Various supporting materials which you'll be able to go and access and technical advice. This is the login process where you would log in. Also, you can access a list of all the measures and they're there just for you to see. It does actually produce reports, which I think is quite helpful. So the information you put in, it will generate you a report for your organisation, but also a report benchmarking you against another organisation if you request it. So again, that will only be as good as the information you actually put within it. So just to give you a flavour, I know it doesn't look exceptionally good when you look at it then, but when you actually print it off, it is quite clear about what you've actually put on and where you're at. And you can use that as a dialogue with your CQC, with your staff, with your commissioners, etc. Another example. There's also a section on frequently asked questions, which you can obviously go through yourselves. So it's very, very detailed. And useful links. So it is a very comprehensive site. What ELQA does as well is offer support. So if you have any queries, there is a section whereby it gives you certain questions that you may want some support in, and you can ask them. But what it also has is a system whereby you can send in your individual questions and queries and they'll actually deal with them and respond back to you. And part of what the intelligence network will be doing is looking at what are the queries coming up, what are the problems, so we can constantly improve and develop it further. Just the contact details for yourselves. And that's the website for you to go on. I would recommend you go on it. I think it's one of these things, it's harder to talk about than to actually do. And I would recommend, if you have time, to see who's the lead person in your organisation and go on and have a look at the site. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.